You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Dramatic Close. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Our Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that you would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, property and honor. And finally, when our last hour has come, grant us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this veil of tears to yourself in heaven. Amen. That prayer was adapted from Martin Luther's explanation to the Lord's Prayer. More about Luther later. First, here's a little introductory anecdote about W.C. Fields. We all know that Fields wasn't very religious. So you can imagine the shock when one of his friends visited the old sick comic and found him reading the Bible. "You reading the Bible?" the friend asked. Fields answered, "I'm looking for loopholes." There aren't any. Age and illness and finally the grim reaper make us face the cold hard reality that life on earth comes to an end. As a minister, I have visited in thousands and thousands of hospital rooms. Almost every one of those rooms had a TV. But I don't ever recall going to see someone in an emergency room. I don't ever recall someone fighting for life in an intensive care unit. And I know that I have never gone into a room where death was imminent when the patient and family were watching TV. About 20 years ago, my father had heart surgery at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. Of course, our family was with him early that morning before he was taken down for the surgery. I remember one thing that my dad did that morning. He ignored us and he read the Portals of Prayer. Portals of Prayer, for those of you who don't know, is a splendid little devotional book that is used by hundreds of thousands of people. That morning of surgery, my dad didn't watch the Today Show or Good Morning America or whatever. Facing the enemy death, he protected himself with the Word of God. My dad came through that surgery very well. But years later, he did die. That is to say, death finally stopped stalking him. When he died, the outcome wasn't that death had finally won. No, just the opposite. Death stopped stalking because this enemy had been conquered once and for all. Through faith in Jesus Christ, death was swallowed up in the victory of eternal life. There are no loopholes. Jesus Christ is the only way out. Martin Luther knew that. This year marks the 450th anniversary of Luther's death. In March of 1967, Time magazine's cover story was about Martin Luther. That cover story began with this paragraph. "A few men, can it be said with absolute certainty that they changed the course of history. Jesus was one, so was Karl Marx. Still another was Martin Luther, friar of the Augustinian Order of Eremites, who 450 years ago posted his 95 theses concerning indulgences to the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church." You know this radio program is called The Lutheran Hour. You expect us to be loyal to old Martin. But partisanship aside, the fact is that Martin Luther's career had a far-reaching and lasting impact upon the history of the Western world. Luther defied the powerful Church of Rome. Luther translated the Bible into the everyday language of the people. Luther used the newest means available, the printing press, to spread the story of faith. Luther spoke up for the little guy. Luther thought more of a layperson's conscience when that conscience was informed by the Word of God than he valued all the theologians and ecclesiocrats who did not bow before the Word of God. Luther did this, and Luther did that. The man had a list of accomplishments a mile long. With such abundant accomplishments, it's a real surprise to read the note he scribbled shortly before his death. Luther had been born in Eisleben, Germany, but spent his working life in Wittenberg, a town about an hour outside of Berlin. Luther had gone back to Eisleben to mediate a local dispute. He hadn't been feeling good. He had experienced various health problems throughout his life. There, in Eisleben, he died on February 18, 1546, at the age of 63. When the Reformer, this man of great accomplishments, died, they found a note that he had scribbled. It said, "Wir sind Bettler, das ist wahr." We are beggars, that's true. No matter how the world esteems you, no matter what you have accomplished through the years, the cold hard reality in the face of death is that we are indeed beggars. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone, thou must save, and thou alone. This spiritual poverty was not an 11th hour, not a deathbed discovery for Luther. He was aware of it for most of his life. In fact, for many years he was terrified by the prospect that he, a sinner, must give account of his entire life to a holy God who demands holiness in his children. Luther's time in the monastery, his priesthood, his religious works, his self-denial, his tortured conscience, nothing he did took away the sense that he was naked and sinful before the searching eyes of God. In the beautiful little town of Wernigerode, in the Harz Mountains of Germany, there's a church with an ornately carved pulpit. At the top of the stairway leading up into the pulpit, your eye catches the carving of a naked man. I asked Pastor Collins Say what the carving symbolized. He said the naked man reminds us that our bodies have no pockets. All that we might amass in our life, all the honors and accomplishments in our biographies, none of it goes with us when we come before the holy and righteous judge of sinners. No pockets, no loopholes. We are beggars. That's the truth. Although you and I, like Luther, have no pockets from which to draw forth our merits and present them to God, we don't have to be terrified by judgment and death. Like Luther, any terrors that you feel can become a defiant scorn against sin, Satan, and the grim reaper. As the hymn writer Paul Gerhardt said, "Now hell, its prince the devil, of all their powers are shorn. Now I am safe from evil, and sin I laugh to scorn. Grim death with all its might cannot my soul affright. It is a powerless form, howe'er it rave and storm." This change to confidence comes when God puts into the faithful heart the treasures of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That beggar Martin Luther was rich only because the Spirit of God had planted in his heart the faith that Jesus Christ had conquered sin and death. 12 years later, he spelled out this treasure of the gospel in words that are known by many Christians. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true." Now let me ask you something. The purpose of this program is not to trumpet the praises of some man named Luther. When facing death, the mere man Luther means nothing to you or to me or to anyone else. So let me ask you, when you consider your aging, when you consider illnesses, when you consider the dramatic close of your life, do you have a confidence that says, "Grim death with all its might cannot my soul affright"? Few of us have that confidence in the measure we would like. I'm going to tell you how to get it. Remember that you are a beggar, and then do what a beggar can do best, that is, to beg. Begging is a daily job. In the first century of the Roman Empire, there was a large class of people who attached themselves to wealthy patrons. From these wealthy patrons, they received the freely given sustenance that they needed to live another day. Each morning, these beggars would come to the door of their benefactors' homes to ask for help. You and I, who are spiritually destitute, should beg every day to our Heavenly Father for His forgiveness, His help, and His hope. Psalm 119 says, "I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word." It amazes me that so many of us wake up and watch the morning TV shows rather than first begging our generous Heavenly Father for His help in the coming day. Begging is a daily job, and it is a disciplined job. It requires, first, your resolve to have a daily devotion. It requires, second, that you tell God all you can about your conditions, your hurts, your wants, and especially your sins. TV has made us very shallow people. And for some Christians, prayer is nothing more than asking for a good parking place at the mall, a happy day at work, and no major problems. How shallow can some of you Christians be? Beggars have to face their poverty. That demands repentance. And third, daily begging demands the discipline of Bible reading. Be in the Word. When you're on your deathbed, someone may say, "Is there anything I can do to make you feel more comfortable?" You're not going to say, "Yes, I'd like the TV guide." You're going to want the Word of God. You're going to want the rich good news of Christ. You're going to want that rod and staff of the gospel that will guide you through the valley of the shadow of death. In order to use it well then, use it each day now. The best thing that a beggar before God can do is beg. It will make all the difference in the dramatic close to the story of your earthly life. Luther, we said earlier, had gone to Eisleben to mediate a dispute. On the 16th of February, an agreement was reached. He dined with his friends on the evening of the 17th and was in good spirits. After some conversation, he arose and went upstairs to the bedroom. Luther spent a long time saying his evening prayers, and then he began to have chest pains. Local doctors were called, and they eased the pains, and Luther fell asleep for a time. About 1 a.m. he awoke and meditated upon passages like John 3:16, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Finally, between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, he recited Jesus' words on the cross, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." His friend, Justice Jonas, said, "Reverend Father, will you die steadfast in Christ, in the doctrine you have preached?" Luther responded with a clear yes. Shortly thereafter, he died. Death had not gotten him. Through faith in Jesus Christ, death had been swallowed up in victory. This beggar had received the crown of eternal life. There are no loopholes, but the Word assures you that you don't have to be afraid of death. It's no more threatening than falling asleep. In a sermon from 1531, Luther said this, "At death, I know not whither I am to go, but my guides, the holy angels, know it well. When I go to sleep, I say, 'God, my Lord and Father, I commit myself to Thee as to the Supreme Keeper. Let Thy holy angels keep and protect me.' At death, I begin to tremble, for I feel my sin. But it is not right to tremble. I should learn confidently to believe at that time, and to say, 'It is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways.' This promise excludes no way, whether you go out into life or into death, whether you go into the house or out of the house. Rather, you have the strong assurance here that you shall surely be secure on all your ways. As good and reliable as your guard is when you go to bed or enter your home, so good and reliable your guard will be when you are to die. So in closing, may I suggest for us all a little less TV and much more Bible reading? Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.